The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We invite you to visit Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church for worship services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Macedonia is located at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. For more information about Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, you may visit our website at macedonia-pbc.org.
This message was delivered during Macedonia's 2017 fellowship meeting on February the 24th, 2017, during the Friday morning service, with a sermon by Elder Rusty Wise regarding proper worship in the Lord's church.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Certainly a beautiful day today, and thankful to have the opportunity to be here, and thankful for the wonderful prayer that Brother Tony prayed. If you have your Bibles with you, I ask you to turn with me to the fourth chapter of the book of Genesis. There's a subject on my mind, and I pray that it's the center point of why we're here today. Beginning in the book of Genesis, after the fall of Adam, we find that worship was instituted by way of sacrifice. And sacrifice, as far as worship, has been the center point of our service from then until the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and follow me now, and will be to His second coming. In the beginning, it was through the shedding of blood and the animal offering. It was that something must die, and that it be offered unto God, and it to be accepted in His sight, be acceptable worship. As time transgressed from when it was instituted here in Genesis, until the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we can go in the book of Malachi and we can see different ways that man had distorted that worship. The idea was that the first and the best was to be offered unto God. As we come here today, we offer the first and the best of us. I pray that's what we've come here to do. I pray that God is not our second thought for being here today. I pray that God is the foremost of our purpose and of our mind to come here today to worship Him, and that we prepared our hearts and our minds to do so. A little tongue tied. Here, let's get some basis here. Here in the fourth chapter of the book of Genesis, we began, and it said in verse 3, and it's in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? Listen to that statement one more time. If thou doest well, shall not thou be accepted? I want us to concentrate. Here's the whole center point of worship and its purpose. First, we go to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And in verse 4, it tells us why that Abel's offering was satisfactory unto God. In the very first word, it says, by faith, Abel offered. Now, we have the Word of God. I don't know if it's on, this is y'all's Articles of Faith that we're in.
Yes.
I don't know if it's on there or not, but I know at different churches where I serve, one of the Articles of Faith says, we consider the inspired Word of God to be our only author, our only way of being able to know what we're supposed to do. It's our only word. Number two, okay. It's the only thing that tells us how that we're supposed to conduct ourselves. It's the only thing that we're supposed to go by. Does anybody disagree with that? And I'll go one step further. At Clinton Church, where I serve, it says the King James Version.
Amen. Ours does.
And I'm gonna interject here. Here's one good reason why it's good to have the King James. If everybody in here is using that same one, we're all on the same page.
Amen.
that's a good step to be. Everybody's on the same page. Not to mention, I won't get into all the other variants. But anyway, it says by faith. The 11th chapter of Hebrews says, by faith, Abel offered. That's, he was specifically said, and here he says, he had respect for Abel's offering. And in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, it says, by faith. That's the very word of God. It's the inspired word of God. It's his instructions to us. In contrast, there's a reason why he did not have respect for Cain's. He plays, it wasn't by faith. If it wasn't by faith, it was something else. In other words, we find that Cain, we find here in this thing, in the very beginning, there's a contrast between natural man, Cain, represented in Cain, and spiritual man, represented in Abel. So we're going to come before God Almighty to worship and honor him based on what he has given us. What is it? He's given us faith. We find that in the 5th chapter of the book of Galatians. It's one of the fruit that he mentions there of the Spirit that's been given to everyone born of the Spirit. By faith, we're able to do that. As we came here today, one of the things we did is we came before him. He tells us, I believe it's the 100th Psalm, come before his presence with singing. Thanksgiving. We're to come and to sing. Paul tells us in the book of 1 Corinthians, we're to sing with understanding.
Right.
We're to sing, we're to be filled. He tells us in the book of Ephesians that we're not to be drunk and wine as excess, but to be filled with the Spirit. We're to do those things. Do we not do that here this day? We dislodge the things of the world from our mind, and we focused upon God that we might offer something that was a sacrifice, something that he gave us that we're giving back to him. And we did it by faith. We did all those things because he filled us with the Spirit. Is there any substitute for that? Can we just decide that something else is better? That's not quite the way it ought to be. It's just as good. Throughout the scriptures, we find continuous places in there where people think that things are just as good. We can substitute here. We can substitute here. Cain is representative of natural man and says, this thing that I offer unto you is just as good because I grew it of the ground. I sweat. I took glory. And now here it is. I'm going to offer it to you. You know, that's man's thinking.
Right.
All right, well, let's see if we can understand what the Word of God says. Let's back up just a little bit and we'll see as man has fallen, God comes upon the scene and he confronts three persons there. He confronts Satan in the form of the serpent, and he cast a curse upon him. He says, all the days of your life, you're going to crawl upon your belly and you're going to sift dust through your nostrils. Okay? He looks at the woman and says, all the days of your life, you're going to suffer pain in childbearing. He says, Adam, you're going to suffer. You're going to have to live by the sweat of your brow. You're going to have to work all the days of your life sweating. And then he pronounces another curse. He says, I place a curse upon the ground. I place a curse upon the ground. What is Cain come offering? He's offered something that God has cursed.
That's right. Yeah.
Can you imagine being more blasphemous?
Right.
More arrogant? Let's go a little bit further. Is this the only place? Well, we find different places that people say, well, things are just as good in my offering. Things are just as good. Let's go over a little further into the Old Testament. We find that there were two men. They had one job and one job only. They were the sons of Aaron, and their only job was to make sure that the fire burned on the altar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's nice that we have different jobs they're given. Brother Larry has a deacon over there. He's got grandkids, and he makes sure every one of them has a job. One of them, if it's nothing else, but bring a glass of water and set it over the pulpit. Everyone's got a job. Teach them to do things. But he teaches them to do it the right way. Here, these two men have a job. Their only job is to make sure the fire never goes out. That shouldn't be too hard. I mean, here, we can pile a cord of wood on here, and then we go cut a couple of more cords and we'll have it ready, and we can just keep chunking a log or two or whatever it is, keep that fire burning. That was their only job, and the only commandment is to not let the fire go out.
Right.
What happens? They get a little lazy. They forget about things. They let other things of the world, the flesh, get upon their mind. What happens? The fire goes out.
Yep.
Now what are we going to do? Well, first thing you need is good. I can understand what their thought process, because if I ever did something contrary to what my daddy did, I was going to try to figure out a way that he wouldn't find out.
Yeah.
If we ever figured out, can you figure out something that God's not going to find out?
Mm-hmm.
The all-knowing, all-seeing God. I said, okay, we'll just reach in and get the old Zippo and light it back up. That didn't work. What does the Word of God says? They introduced strange fire under the altar of God, and God wasn't pleased with
right.
it. They decided they'd just substitute. They used some natural thing. They may have been, I'm not saying they weren't spiritual men, but they used some natural reasoning, and it didn't work out so well for them, did it? Let's go a little bit further. I said that God himself instructs us what the offering is to be. In the book of Malachi, they get down so bad that they start offering the maimed, the lame, the sick. The prophet says unto him, says, if you think that's okay, won't you offer it unto the governor, see what he thinks.
Right.
If the governor of our state came in today and we put spoiled meat in his plate, we wouldn't even do that, would we?
Right.
Just out of kindness and charity and goodwill, we wouldn't do that, be a proper host. But here we'll offer something unto God. We get into our natural reasoning. And today it even carries on that some people have instituted the idea that there are other things that are just as good substitute in the form of worship. One of the things our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was instituted the knowledge or the thing of, for us for the communion service, the wine, the unleavened bread. What it was representative and why we use the specific things for it. The unleavened bread that has nothing, flour and water, nothing else, no lard, no salt, no yeast, nothing. It's just plain, like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, not leavened with the things of the world.
Right.
The wine, something that is made, that is turned, that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself instituted that the water be turned to wine. He instituted that himself, something representative of his blood that will never spoil, but yet man has decided, hey, we can use crackers, that's just as good.
Mm.
We can use grape juice, that's just as good. You're not going to get drunk on those things. But it's not what God said.
Amen.
So we get in trouble when we start doing the things that God, contrary to what God tells us to do.
Right.
We get into the things of the flesh and use worldliness in it, introduce worldliness into the worship service. What have we done? We've substituted what is good in the sight of God to worship. What has he given unto us? The very first thing he's given unto us is this, his word. And we're to follow it. The instructions over here says that we're to, that's our only author, and that's our only way of doing things.
Right.
We're to follow these instructions. I said sacrifice. Those are there substitute the sacrifice. In the New Testament, the sacrifice is not of the animal. It's not of the bulls and the heifers. It's not the sacrifice of living things and offering the blood. In the New Testament, now he says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, that we're a living sacrifice,
right.
Holy and acceptable. And we're to do the things which is our reasonable service. That's what we're to sacrifice. As we come here today, we have sacrificed the things of the flesh and the world to come in out of the world, to come into the house of faith, to worship God in a way that is pleasing unto him. What is that way? We have come before him singing. We have come before him praying. And now we have come before him to preach and to feel the presence of the Spirit.
Amen.
That we might be lifted up, doing the things that honor and praise him.
Right.
Not substituting things. Not doing those things of the flesh. We're not coming here to play video games or watch Super Bowl or play all kind of whatever it might be. We're to come in here. Why? Because in the New Testament, we find that, why are we singing a cappella? Well, we first read that in Ephesians a while ago, that we're to sing and make melody in our heart, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We're to do those things. We find that Paul and Silas were in the midnight hour at the prison. They were singing unto God. We find nowhere in the New Testament that they sang with anything other than what God gave them to do.
Right.
We find over and over the prayer. These weren't written prayers. These are prayers of the heart. Right. The pouring out of the soul that we might make our thoughts and intents known to God. Not that He doesn't already know them. But that we might put out our supplications unto Him.
Amen.
And continuously over and over throughout the Word we find John the Baptist, Jesus Christ, all the apostles and disciples, they were continuously preaching the Word that was given unto them. Wherever they were sent by the work of the Spirit, they went and preached the Word. Peter went down to Cornelius' house and preached unto him. Philip went down and preached to the Ethiopian eunuch. Wherever the Spirit sent them, or allowed them to go, they went there to preach the Word. They did those things, as Paul says in the book of Corinthians, I believe it's in the 14th chapter, he says, let all these things be done decent and in order. Now, when we come to the house of God, when we do these things and we preach, if all of us started jumping up and running around and murmuring all kinds of things, whatever came to our minds, all we would have is a lot of confusion.
Yeah.
Who would be being edified? Who would be being glorified? And how would it be being done decent and in order? Okay? So let's say we're one of these New Age churches. You heard of them? There's a bunch of them out there. We're gonna do this, and we're gonna run around. We gotta get down to the flesh. We need to get rid of all these worldly things. So we're just gonna run around in the nude. Because that'll get us down to the very spirit and the necessity of things. Get us down to where we can be natural. I said this is our guide, right?
Yeah.
So we need to kind of follow it, don't we? Over in 1 Timothy chapter 2, it says we're to come and be modest in apparel.
Right.
If you're modest in apparel, I cannot figure out how that means without clothes.
Right.
Now let's go back to the beginning. What was the very first thing that God did? Adam and Eve were standing there in their nakedness, in their sins. And the very first thing He did in the institution of that worship was He sacrificed an animal and He slew it and He took the skins thereof and covered them. So if they were to be covered, now we're going to institute something different and contrary to what God says.
Right.
All right. Now, let's get back. We understand spirit. What's acceptable, what's not acceptable. Now let's answer the question here. If thou doest well, will thou not be accepted? First, that's a conditional statement. Starts off with the word if. He's already told us that He has respect for Abel and no respect for Cain. And now Cain's upset, and he asked the question to him, if thou doest well. First, let's go back to Hebrews. We'll go down to the 6th verse now. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Was God pleased with what Cain was doing? Absolutely not, and He'll never be pleased with natural man in anything that he ever does.
Right.
Period. I had a conversation with a young man some time ago, and we were traveling down the road, and we were going to meet. And he asked the question. He was new to the faith, and he asked me the question. He said, Brother Rusty, if somebody that's not born of the Spirit, would God be more pleased with them if they took all the money they had, whatever amount that, if it was $100 or $100 million, and they gave it to some benevolent charity, would He be more pleased with that than if they went out and slaughtered all the newborn children of Africa? I said, in the sight of God, it would mean nothing as far as pleasure in any case. Because you've already said He's unregenerate. He has no faith. Therefore, there's absolutely nothing He could do that would ever satisfy and please God.
Amen.
Nothing. Natural man, we find Paul declared what a natural man is. He cannot He's not born of the Spirit. He can't understand those things, and he cannot discern spiritual things. All he can do is do natural reasoning. And what happens when we work in natural reasoning? We always go contrary to what the Word of God says.
Right.
Because we're not led by the Spirit of God. What does he tell us in the New Testament? As many as are led of the Spirit, they are the sons of God. We, being born of the Spirit, by faith have come here today to do something that we pray is pleasing and well in the sight of God. Not because of what we have done, but because God has instilled those things in us to give us the desire to come out to the house of God and do well. Now I want to get to the second part of it. He said, if thou doest well, will thou not be accepted? Yesterday I saw a post from a friend of mine that he had done this sinner's prayer, and he was passing it all over the internet, and he was telling that he had accepted Jesus and now he was born of the Spirit and he was going to heaven, blah, blah, blah. I was thankful that he felt like that he was born. I was thankful that he felt like he was a child of God. But I was terribly distraught that he had missed one of the most wonderful doctrinal blessings that God has ever given unto us. In the first chapter of the book of Ephesians, he says in verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. What a wonderful doctrine that is. That Jesus Christ, by that perfect sacrifice, has offered it once unto God. And God accepted it because it says, we know he did, because it says that Jesus sat down. Mm-hmm. The work was finished. God accepted that. So that those blood sacrifices are finished. Now the sacrifice is the living sacrifice that we do here today. But he has made us accepted in the beloved. His work has made us accepted. Natural man, there's absolutely nothing he will ever be able to do that will please God or make him accepted. But God has made us accepted in himself. And what he has given us is all that he requires that we give back. What is that? He's given us faith. As we come here today by faith, we worship him in spirit and in truth. And I pray that we do it according to the Word of God.
Amen.
I pray that we continue to do that until the time that he comes again.
Amen.
And then we'll praise him perfectly in eternity.
Right.
Not as we do now. As good as it is now, how much better will it be in eternity?
Amen.
God bless you and keep you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message and invite you to visit Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church for worship services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Macedonia is located at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. For further information about Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, you may visit our website at macedonia-pbc.org.